KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
Who are some of your favorite colorful people in St. Louis? What about the St. Louis Arch? Do you know how it really got started and how it got built? And what about the St. Louis German population? Well, there's a great history behind all of those things. And I have as my guest the author of books on these topics plus more, Jim Merkel. What Jim does is he writes about adventures in writing and life. So let's meet him today on Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich. Thank you so much for joining me. Jim, thanks so much for being my guest.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Jim, when I started to read your book on Scrubby Dutch, I said, oh, this guy is a great historical writer. And I love it because you add humor into your book. So I'd like you to share with me a little bit about the most favorite book that you've written over the years.
Oh, boy, that's the old thing about who's your favorite child.
And my kids, maybe I shouldn't have asked you that because my kids have always plagued me with that. In my whole life, they always have tried to catch me off guard, and they still today at 32 and 26 say, Mom, and who's your favorite child? And I always have to remember and say, both of you are my favorite children.
Right.
So maybe I shouldn't start out with that question.
Scrubby Dutch is kind of a favorite. I've written other things, but
talk about that book.
Okay, well, when I was growing up, I grew up in the South Side in Webster Groves and DePere. When we wanted to find an interesting, just a very unusual thing, very unusual product, you could find it in just a little bitty store in the South Side. The South Side has so many different neighborhoods and so many different people. There's the Germans, there's the Irish, of course, there's the Italians on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
I love them all. Of course, I live there now, and I love it. Besides that, I think that the one that really...
But the Scrubby Dutch, tell people more about that book, because they might want to go buy it, Jim.
Okay. Well, Hoosiers and Scrubby Dutch, St. Louis's South Side. You can get it on Amazon, or you can get it at a store.
Tell us more about the book, Jim.
Okay. It's little vignettes, about 800 words long. I made sure that I stopped at 800 words, about various things, of course, about the hill, about Yogi Berra.
Yogi Berra Park was down the street from where I used to live on the hill.
Right. And there's a place, there's a Hall of Fame place where you can go to the houses right across the street from each other where Joe Garagiola and Yogi Berra grew up, little kids, right across the street. And down a little bit further is where... A little bit later, Jack Buck lived.
Jack Buck,
three people who were in the Hall of Fame.
And his name is on the sidewalk, right
on
in
sidewalk,
front
right.
of where he
and,
lives.
Of course,
that's absolutely
the,
right.
Where there was the exorcism in The Exorcist, that was at a part of Alexian Brothers Hospital that is no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
And I go into that. I go into the great St. Louis bank robbery at Southwest Bank.
Oh, yeah, Southwest Bank on the hill.
And it was a very dramatic thing. And then all kinds of different things, about 80 in all. And it was my first one. And your first anything, you're excited. And then after a while, you say, I've done this before. Been there, done that. But... it was an exciting thing to do, and it was well received.
That book, again, is called?
Hoosiers and Scrubby Dutch, St. Louis's South Side. And that was put out in 2010, second edition around 2014, but it's still around.
So Jim is a St. Louis native, and he's been a lifelong journalist. and the City of St. Louis Hall reporter now for the MetroStLouis.com and also the North Side and the South Sider, which is a brand new newspaper. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later, but tell me about the book that you wrote about the Gateway Arch.
Okay, it was called The Making of an Icon, The Dreamers, the Schemers, and the Hard Hats Who Built the Gateway Arch. It was an exciting book to do. I've always known about it, but I got to go in their archives and just go down there and find out real details. Like, did you know that the Gateway Arch has wrinkles? And talking about the final day of construction on the 28th of October, 65, I really feel like I wrote as good a book as there is about the Gateway Arch, and that I've found out stuff, and I think you'd really enjoy it.
Again, you found out about the dreamers, the schemers.
Right,
now, that's
schemers.
Tell us a little story about the schemers.
There was an election for a bond issue in 1935 that they required to get the local funding, and it passed. And it turned out a year later that there had been massive ballot box stuffing, and that's why it passed.
Really?
So, yeah, and without that, well, who knows? There may not have been a Gateway Arch.
What about the dreamers, Jim?
Okay.
What were the dreamers? When did that all start?
Okay, Luther Reilly Smith. He was the dreamer. He had an idea. He was a community leader for his entire life, and he came up with this idea for the Jefferson National Expansion Memorial. He didn't know what would go there, but he pushed it, and he got the mayor, a guy named Dickman, on his side, and from there, they really worked hard. After the war, he pushed for a nationwide competition for the best idea, and he got a brilliant guy who was also a dreamer by the name of Eero Saarinen, one of the greatest architects of the 20th century, who came up with this brilliant idea for the Gateway Arch, which is a lot more complicated and a lot more simple than you realize.
Than we realize. So that's The Making of an Icon. The dreamers, the schemers, and the hard hats, who are obviously the contractors who built the Gateway Arch. And again, Jim Merkel is my guest, and he is the author of that book. I love it, Jim, how you get stories from different people. And you use those stories in your books to point to very interesting historical facts that none of us knew.
Oh, I love it. I got it out of newspapers, old newspapers. I love to go into libraries. Interviews, original sources. And they're all in there because, you know, once upon a time, all these stories were in the papers. And all you have to do is know how to find those papers.
And only a reporter and a historian like Jim Merkel would know how to dig for those facts. Now, Jim, you wrote another book, The Colorful Characters of St. Louis. Who are some of your favorite colorful characters
okay.
that you featured in this book?
Now, one of my favorite colorful characters is Renard Nebot, and you may not have heard of
him. I don't know who that is.
Okay, but anybody who's driven up and down Highway 44 around Webster Groves has seen a guy very enthusiastically for years and years just waving and waving. And, well, actually, he's mentally challenged, so he doesn't know about what a big character he is, but all kinds of people have seen him, and so he was very exciting when I just put a little item in my website about him, and I got about, believe it or not, 45,000 responses.
Oh, no, you didn't. Really?
I did. And so it just kept on coming and coming and coming and coming. And so people love him. They even named this overpass the Renard Nebot Overpass.
And that's over Highway 44
in Webster Groves. Of course, this is a guy I love, and I think you do too. The one I was at the Southside Journal many years ago, Slim and Zella Mae Cox. Oh, I love to go down. Their music. And he just had this booming voice, and he went around. He was on Channel 24, and he went around to various places, and I just loved the guy.
And he could bang the socks out of a piano.
Oh, he could. You know? And he came from Arkansas, and he bitterly poor. And, you know, I think he was, a very bad situation. And so, interestingly, I interviewed him for my first book, and then he died around 2012, and I missed the guy like crazy. But, this is one thing you get when you talk to total strangers. You get lots of different ideas, make a lot of friends.
Hey, Jim, we got to take a break. Will you come back and join me? We're going to talk about the rest of your books.
Oh,
maybe if we get to them, we might not get off the Colorful People book.
Okay.
But would you come back and join me for another segment on Encounter?
Sure.
Awesome. I'm Judy Redlich. Stay tuned. We've got more surprises in store.
If you'd listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I love to do is help people find their highest potential. If you're looking for new direction in your life and you don't really know how to get from one place to another, and you need a life coach, why not try me? I have been coaching for several years now, and my joy is to help people find their place where they feel they truly belong. I'm a Christian coach, and if you're interested, you can email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com. That's jredlichspeaks@gmail.com to find out more.
I'm Judy Redlich. Thanks so much for joining me for today's Encounter. I have as my guest Jim Merkel. You probably know him by some of his books he's written. He is a St. Louis native, and he is also a lifelong journalist, St. Louis City Hall reporter. Now he works with a newspaper called The Southsider. He is the author of lots of books on St. Louis. Maybe you've read them. Maybe you read the one about the Gateway Arch. Maybe you read Hoosiers and Scrubby Dutch, St. Louis's South Side. Maybe you even read the one about baseball. We're going to talk more about some of those books, but we're also going to talk about Jim and how much Christ means to him in his life. Jim, thanks for joining me for another segment here on Encounter.
Love to be here.
We're talking about Colorful Characters, that book. You just talked about Slim and Zelma Cox. And, you know, with every good man, there's a good woman behind them. And that was Zelma.
She was
quite a colorful character as well.
Oh, sure. And he met her down in Arkansas.
Yep.
And he went around playing with her.
Playing piano with her and singing.
Piano with her.
Yes. So
he was a wonderful guy, as I said.
And he has lots of songs on lots of albums. I know working with him at Channel 24, I was the telethon director for a long time. Well, I was part of the startup team on Channel 24. So Slim and Zelma were part of the TV station for so many years. And we would just enjoy having them help to host telethons and sing and do their music. So, yes, he was a very vibrant. He and Zelma were very vibrant characters and real-life people. They were very real people in our area. Who are some of the other colorful people in that book?
Well, let's see now. I've got Josephine Baker, who basically left St. Louis because of the racism here. Hmm. And then she went to Paris, where there wasn't. And she was basically a spy in World War II, and she came back. And I have Percy Green.
Oh, Percy Green. I know Percy.
Oh,
yeah, I've interviewed Percy Green on Channel 24 before.
Oh, yeah.
Great guy.
And he was pretty smart. He snuck up. Him and another person snuck up the Gateway Arch when it was being built, about 125 feet, and he says, "I'm not leaving." And you could easily say, oh, he's just a stuntman. But unless you, at that time and today, unless you really stand up and yell, people are going to ignore you. White people will ignore you. I've got Mickey McTagg, who's a, he was a guy, I got to really get to know him very well. He was kind of a politician, and he wrote comic lines for Bob Hope.
How do you find out? How do you pick your characters? How did you pick them for these? Some of these people I have not heard of, and I'm wondering how many of our listeners are wondering the same thing. How do you choose the right characters to go in your books?
I made lists. I know Beetle Bob. Here's another guy who goes into all kinds of concerts and he dances around.
Yeah.
Bill Haas, of course.
Oh, yes. Everybody knows about Bill Haas on the school board and all that, and running for offices.
Yes. And we've got Marlon Perkins.
Marlon Perkins.
Phyllis Diller.
Yes, yes. Phyllis Diller.
Stan Kahn, the vacuum man.
Yes.
I saw him with his vacuum cleaner collection when I was writing for the Southside
Journal. Doesn't he have about 100 vacuums?
And Charlotte Peters.
Charlotte Peters was on TV for so long.
And then you ask around to people and, you know, people you know. And, of course, I got to know a lot of people. So
Charlotte Peters, yes, I remember. So many of those characters, Jim, how can people get that book, The Colorful Characters of St. Louis, and so many of your other books?
Well, it would be the same way. You could get it over Amazon or you can get it from a bookstore, but you know, I guess Amazon probably would be the best way. I mean, since it hasn't been around for a while.
And you also put together a travel book about the Apostle Islands.
Yeah, the Apostle Islands of Lake Superior.
Lake Superior.
Actually, it's about their lighthouses. They have six lighthouses.
Oh, lighthouses!
Up there, and a wonderful story. And so my wife and I have been going up there for many years.
Lighthouses are so neat, aren't they?
No.
I read a whole book on lighthouses, and it was amazing to hear the stories about how lives have been changed because of lighthouses. Speaking of lives changed, Jim, how has Jesus Christ made a difference in your life? You've written about all these different topics and things, and I know that Jesus Christ has not been too far away, has he?
No, I mean, he's everything to me. You know, I grew up in a Catholic home. And when I was a senior in college, I accepted him in my life. And every single decision has been so, like I moved away from St. Louis to Pennsylvania in 75. I stayed there until 91. And, of course, I got married in that time. And we prayed about coming back to St. Louis. And, you know, we didn't want to basically grow old and old in a small town. And we decided to come back to my home. And in, you know, so many decisions, I fall short many times, and I could use a lot more fervor, but it's just been everything. I believe the Bible is what it says. You have to interpret it sometimes, but God and Jesus are basically in control. And so that's my story.
That's a great story. Mm-hmm. That's a great story. And it is so seldom that you hear about the stories of reporters who love Jesus and who depend on Jesus every day. So it's a very refreshing story. Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone who is thinking about, well, let me ask you this question first. How did you first realize that you have a gift for writing?
Well, when my I was in eighth grade, and I wrote something, some kind of theme, and my mom said, "You really write well," and so that was really encouraging. And of course, my dad encouraged me too. And we always talked about politics, and we did talk about Catholic religion, which was that's fine. And so I thought about other things, but basically, I never really wanted to do anything else but write.
So when was your first book published, or was your first newspaper job, did that come before?
Okay, my first newspaper, I graduated from the School of Journalism at Mizzou in 73. I got a job that summer. And then I got another job at a daily paper in rural Pennsylvania in 75. And then I worked at various places. And when we came back, I almost immediately, I mean, this was God's guidance, almost within 6 weeks of me coming back and us coming back in 91, I was working for the Suburban Journal.
For the Suburban. Yeah.
And I worked there until 13 when I was laid off along with a whole bunch of other people. And so.
And you covered City Hall. You've covered issues upon issues over the years. And now you're working for the Southsider.
Right.
What is a Southsider? When did it start?
The Southsider is published by Antonio French, who is
a former alderman.
Former alderman, a very smart guy. He was there for, I guess, about 8 years, and he ran for mayor in 17, and he lost.
Right.
But he also was very active in Ferguson. He got arrested once, and I think at least once. He was seen on local and national publicity quite a bit. And he contacted me at the beginning of the year and said, "Would you like to do this?" And I called him back immediately.
What do you do at the Southsider? What is your main niche?
I cover Southside. I cover various feature stories for the Southside. I cover the various, of course, City Hall reporters. I have a news conference that I'm going to at noon today that's involving the circuit attorney. So
city issues.
City issues
at the Southsider.
Yeah,
great. Hey, we've been talking with Jim Merkel today, and maybe you live on the South Side or would like to get a copy of the South Side. Where do they have those, Jim?
Well, you can get it at various stores, various restaurants and stuff like that.
Jim's been my guest today. 4 books, Gateway Arch. He's written a book about that. The Hoosiers and the Scrubby Dutch. St. Louis's South Side is another book. Beer, Brats, and Baseball. German Americans in St. Louis, The Making of an Icon, The Dreamers, The Schemers, and The Hard Hats Who Built the Gateway Arch, and Colorful Characters of St. Louis. After this interview was recorded, Jim finished his new book, which is called Growing Up in St. Louis, Looking Through the Decades. And you can get that book at jimmerkeltherewriter.com, or all of his books you could get at amazon.com. Thanks so much for coming by the station today and doing this interview.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
And again, you can get all of his books on Amazon and pick up a copy of The Southsider to keep in touch with Jim Merkel. I'm Judy Rutlick. This has been Encounter. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Join me again.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.